You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Hello, Galactic Holonet, and welcome to the Scum and Villainy Podcast. I am your guest host, Matt the Mighty Newt, filling in for Richard White, better known as Kelvin Tiberius, who has been waylaid by Imperial Intelligence for the evening. With me, as usual, is Blair Bunky, better known as Scruffy, ship's cook. How are we doing, Blair?
Good. How are you, sir?
Not too bad at all. Also with us, Tyler Tippett, hero of the Empire, better known as Starslinger 72, ship's cook.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
One of you's the janitor, one of you's the cook.
Yes, I'm the cook, Blair's the janitor. It's fine.
That's all right.
We switch off, we use the same utensils. Nobody questions.
I am never eating in this kitchen. And also with us, designated driver, Will Barnacle, better known as Actual Will Barnacle.
Hey, what's going on?
All right. So there's been a couple things coming out this last week in the X-Wing world. Some news dropping. And everybody's favorite annual charity tournament. So let's start off with that. How many of us attended the Campaign Against Cancer this past weekend?
Will and I went to St. Louis.
Oh, okay. And Blair, did you end up heading out to a charity Campaign Against Cancer tournament?
Yes.
All right. I went to one as well. So how'd everybody do on that, Blair?
I did well.
What'd you finish, Blair?
What place did I finish?
Well, like what was your final record?
Well, I went 5-0, but I had like a 2-hour, 15-minute drive home, so I didn't get to play the last round, unfortunately. But
So you could say technically you were 5-1?
Sure. That's
5-0 drop off.
What were you like?
Because Will and I were both 5-1 as well, so all of them.
I too finished 5-1. So, nice. To make it a sweep.
Look at us, 20-4. Good team.
What'd you fly, Blair?
I just flew like 5 bandits and a partisan with Leia, and then Jake with Crackshot and Predator. I had never done one of these, believe it or not, Tyler and Will, and I remember like seeing all the photos from the first one, and
it would have been a little far for you to come for the first couple.
I remember the very first one.
Yeah,
and I remember every year I'm like, you know, I'm gonna do it, and then every year it's like it's down in like Vancouver and Spokane. I'm like, oh god. So it was all the way on the other side of the Puget Sound, away from Bremerton, and they were doing the freaking armed forces parade there because Bremerton is like this big naval base.
Yep.
So I had to park like 9 blocks away and like wade through this parade to get there. But it was cool. The venue was a cool place. And had fun.
Did you like Jake, 5 bandits and a U-Wing?
That's all right.
Yeah. I was like, so I mean like B-Wings got cool, so you can't fly those now, right? Like, you gotta go further down the level train.
Yeah. But I mean, Leia's cool too. So what are you gonna do? Well, you're not gonna get screwed out of the way.
Unless you're Will, you're not gonna just not fly Leia and Rebels.
Yeah.
So I've got my principles somewhere.
Oh, what did you and your principles bring to the tournament, Will?
I flew the ABXY variant that I've been having just fun with, just because it's the Campaign Against Cancer, so it's fun. So I think it was Wedge with R2 and Crackshot. Horton with Ion Cannon, Veteran Turret Gunner, and R4 Astromech. Arvel with Predator and Crackshot, and then Ten Num with Advanced Sensors and Crackshot.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
It is. The amount of times people forgot that Arvel could shoot them when they were bumped was extremely numerous. Literally
his only thing he does, and they forgot it.
Well, that and the fact that he can boost into you, like in kind of partially complete boosts to set that up too. So yeah, he was the MVP in several of my games.
Nice. What about you, Tyler? What were you rocking up with?
So I took the same. Well, so I had a crazy Soonter Whisper Kagi list that had like Fifth Gunner and Palpatine on Kagi and just all kinds of nonsense in it, right? Like Stealth Device, Fifth Gunner, Whisper. So like three Agi with two evades, two force, and a focus. Like good luck hitting her.
Okay.
And you can't target lock her. So that was like, that was the plan. And then there was a, one of my good friends had a graduation party on Friday night and I didn't get home until like one-ish in the morning. So I just grabbed my tournament box off the shelf and walked out the door, which had quad phantoms or my Sense Vader fell on three academies. That's like my hyperspace and my extended lists. And I didn't really feel like flying quad phantoms at a charity event. And I also, I mean, I'm pretty certain they were like going to just like lynch me if I ran quad phantoms. So, because there was some joking, like as I walked in, they're like, did you bring quad phantoms? I'm like, why? He's like, no one here can bring quad phantoms. We're not going to allow it. Like, sure, I brought a hyperspace list. It'll be fine. Yeah. And turns out it's really good. It's still fine. Like my only loss on the day was to Doug.
Who yeah, we
won
heard
the whole thing.
Doug Howe, one of my Kansas City locals, midway through the tournament, I get a message going, just dice the F out of Tyler Tippett.
It was. So the way most of the first or second engages with that style list work out is I block all of your guys. So you have no actions and I have actions on all my TIE fighters, right? Turns out when I block all your guys, if you just roll all hits, and I roll all blanks on my TIE fighter's defense, you just kill him, and I have no blockers left.
It's a valid strategy.
Yeah. I was just like, oh. And it was like, it was the one of those comical things where it was like, just, I, like, my reds were fine, and his greens were fine, but his reds were fire, and my greens were garbage for two turns in a row, and I just had no ships left at the end. Yeah, it's like, okay.
I saw the opposite of that. I brought the Birmingham Barons Andrew Knuckles Hatchet Man list.
Yeah.
And so I was the cancer on the day, apparently. It's a fun list to fly. Came up against two lists that I thought were going to be hard losses for me, a 5A and then a TIE Swarm, but I managed to come out on top on due to time on the 5A list. And then against the TIE Swarm, my opponent sent everything after Jenden, and we counted Jenden in a roll of 15 evade dice, rolled 13 natural evades, a focus that he Palpatined, and a blank that got turned into an evade thanks to a gas cloud.
Strong.
It was the dodgingest thing. He did manage to kill Jenden as time was called.
At what cost?
At the cost of four of his ships.
Yeah.
And that was just the most statistically unlikely game ever. But 5-1 on the day, they had the raffle. I came out of it with a nice custom painted Kirox fighter in the blue and red Cobra Commander style, so that's pretty neat. Waiting for that to drop into hyperspace so I can make some use out of it. Anybody else?
Will's Falcon. Talk about that, dude.
Yeah.
So, the silly thing, like I hit on all three of my raffle cards, which nice. Covering you know our tradition, like I think the very first one, like Tyler, you and your dad both like walked out with like three
everything.
Things
it was no like it was because we had more tickets back then, like they gave you five or six tickets, and I want to say like we won both copies of one of the signed books kind of deal. Like yeah, it was like comical where it was like we just kept going up, so we just started giving stuff away. We're like, yeah, you're new, right? Like I don't want a used core set, please take this. Go like yeah.
So they did that first year. I think the second or third year we went, we were kind of like always walking away with stuff too. This year I hit on all three of my tickets. The first two were, you know, whatever. It's like some card game I don't know anything about. And then it was a signed picture from like Bethesda of like something from, you know, Elder Scrolls Online. And I was just like, okay, I don't know who any of these people are. I like Skyrim. Sure. Cool.
The Elder Scrolls Online devs had signed it.
Yeah, so, I mean, if anyone's an Elder Scrolls fan, I guess hit us up. but anyway, we're packing up, and I think we were trying to get kind of rushed out of there because everyone was kind of, you know, long day and trying to get home or whatever.
No. I had another graduation party I was going to, so I got home at like 1 in the morning and then was out till 5 a.m. on Saturday night as well.
Well, yeah, that too, but I think we were, like, everyone was kind of, you know, trying to get out of the store too a little bit. Yeah. And, I was like staring at my ticket. I'm like, oh, hey, I guess that was my number. And I walk up. I have no idea what it was even for. I was just like, okay, cool. I got something else. And it was the Falcon that he had with the engine glow on LEDs that has a switch that lights up.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah. So I've got a Falcon with engine glow now. And so now it's like, I almost feel obligated to run, you know, my Lando list now. So
not bad. Not bad at all. Blair, did you stick around to win any of the raffles?
Yeah, I don't really remember what. I think I got like my fifth like dice tray, which like I never like have brought like a single one to a tournament ever. So that was cool. And then I don't even remember what the other one was. So yeah.
Well, it's all for a good cause. Again, a campaign against cancer run by Twin Sons Charities. They haven't announced the final haul yet, but there were over 1,000 registered players across the country and overseas. And at $15 a pop, that's at least 15,000 plus whatever donations they get coming in. So,
at least minimum $15 a pop. I know a lot of people that end up donating a lot more than that when they get their ticket.
Absolutely. So,
yeah, I always do for sure.
Now, again, it's one of the best causes. It's one of the best things we do as a community every year. So good to see it come out well. Other than that, has anybody else had any tournaments lately? Any booty to brag about?
Have we cast since we went to the hyperspace, Will?
I know I wasn't able to make it. I don't know if there was any mention of it or not.
This would be the Bloomington one?
Yeah.
I believe you did. Yeah, that came down to you and Nathan at the end getting to commentate your own match.
Well, that was not in the finals. That was on day one. Which is definitely a match to go watch because I'm eating tacos and like ordering tacos through Johannes at one point, and yeah, it's pretty good.
All right.
I did end up running into Nathan in the cut, and that did not go my way. So he ended up and went on to win it all. I probably, if you guys talked about the event last time, then yeah. So it was fun though. So I took home quite a bit of booty from that though, for getting top eight.
Good, good. And then we have had some news drop about wave four in the last 2 weeks, two articles, one about the Hyena Bomber and one about the Naboo Starfighter. Rather than going into depth about everything, figure there's enough new things that got debuted, we can all just pick a card and talk about it. Tyler, you had the first one that seems really interesting.
Yeah, so Passive Sensors came out of the Naboo Starfighter. I think it's a neat card that's going to have some situations that are really strong. Like off the cuff. So for anybody that doesn't know what it is, it's a system slot card that as an action you can flip its charge over. And then it's a reoccurring charge, so you'd have to do it every turn if you want to do that. And then before you engage, you can take either a target lock or a calculate token, or a target lock or calculate action. Now, a couple things with that. This is now a way to get target lock the action on ships that have a system slot that don't have the target lock action.
Such as the Phantom.
Yeah, exactly. So very much the Phantom. So we have that and targeted computer coming out, right? So depending on points, what slot you want to give up, that kind of a thing, we can at least get target lock on them easily since they took the crew slot away in Krennic. It's obviously really good for low pilot skill ordnance carriers, right? So your B-wings can take that, your low pilot skill gunboats, so that they can actually target lock and shoot their proton torps on the first engage. The coolest space that I see it in, which is obviously all point dependent, is on a non-bid Vader, because he can force off that action, right?
Right.
So okay. I can move my Vader in to block you. At the start of combat, I can target lock you, force barrel roll, shoot you when you have no tokens, that kind of thing. So it's not, I mean, granted, that's only at mirrored sixes and with the six has a bid, right? But outside of that, it's also decent because I can, even if you're, so I say I'm fighting against like Rebel Beef, right? I generally think of Vader as also having another six because I like Fel next to him. So I can position and Fel can target the best shot for Fel, and then Vader can target lock that guy if it's not dead, right? Like I don't have this, oh, I need to target lock that, like this X-Wing to make sure it dies. But if Fel kills it first, then I have a crappy shot on someone else. Like, I always have the target lock, right? And it's not like a lost action in any way. It's the same action economy as normal.
Right, because it says before you engage, so yep. It's when you would engage. So yeah. does that make it not as amazingly broken on low initiative ships, because they're not going to have that action until they engage?
Right. So they won't have it. I mean, they don't have any other action, right? So they have no defensive mods. You can still pilot skill kill them, all that kind of stuff, or initiative kill them. But it's just, it's interesting in some corner cases.
And it's interesting that they managed to limit it to where you can only perform that action, flipping the charge, in your perform action step. So no advanced sensors, no coordinating.
Is that true?
Yep. It says spend one charge. You can only perform this action in your perform action step.
Gotcha. Okay.
And while the charge is inactive, you right. cannot be coordinated.
Correct.
So no focus, target lock, the ship. So
or unless you have a low pilot skill coordinated caddy, right? So AP5 right. still really good for this. Like low initiative squad leader.
Okay.
Like, interesting, you know what I mean? Like, so you can take the cheaper squad leader if you have a low initiative ship that has a talent slot. So, you know, okay, I've got my Punisher, for example, rolling up, and my Punisher is going to lock someone, but I'm going to give them the focus ahead of time. So I could use a generic Punisher now, that kind of a thing. I don't know if those are good. They're just outside things.
It adds some more options in there.
Yeah.
So if you had to hazard a guess, how many points are you predicting this to be?
I want to see it at like the 3 to 4 point range. Like, I think it sees play there. And I think I'm guessing with the points update that Vader's going to go up. Soontar's probably going to go up. And that means I'm not going to be able to get 3 academies anymore. So I'm going to have to switch to like a striker and an academy, and then I'll have some points to play with. And so I'd like to be able to put something like that in those points.
Okay. All right. Blair or Will, do you have a card? You'd like to go over?
I do. It's called Passive Sensors. And no. Is this the card you think is finally going to make robots decent, Will?
That's a good question. Honestly, I'm not sure. I haven't actually put the 2.0 robots on the table a whole lot. I played around with them a little bit, and everything I tried was just like, these things aren't here. Yeah. Like, I'm not feeling them here. This is interesting. I was honestly thinking that it looks a little bit better for maybe like those low initiative, like TIE Advance to get the targeting computer up on those pesky targets that you can't, you know, lock with your normal kind of initiative move. But again, they're still costed at a spot that I don't know if they'll see a whole lot of play. But I mean, robots might be one of those things that kind of comes into play, because it is a calculate. Like, usually people are thinking, at least most of the time, I think people are thinking of it for like the target locks and trying to get like lower initiative ships the locks to maybe fire ordnance or something like that. The robots do fuel themselves on the calculate tokens, and so the calculate side of this might be the more important side for them, especially as they're generating 2 of them and then maybe being able to pass them around and that type of thing. So it could be, but I just don't know what it does for calculating that you wouldn't just do by like either advanced sensors or just going up and calculating yourself with your normal action. So. I mean, I'll try it. Play around with it.
I'm probably, the hope is that it's way cheaper than advanced sensors.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That, I mean, that would be the thing. You save a lot of points that you can put into something else. But
do you miss the opportunity to pass your calculates because you're doing it on engage? Like, isn't that a start of combat?
No, it's when you, is it when you take a calculate action for the robots?
No, so they have the advanced brand where when you take calculate, you get 2. But then there's IG, I think it's A, that lets you pass calculates between them.
I think that is at the start of engagement. So yeah, you might have missed that window then. Or is it the same trigger?
So at the start of engagement phase.
Uh-huh.
But passive says before you engage.
Engagement phase is the combat phase. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So you do miss that. So yeah, then that's not even going to work.
Nope.
Unfortunately.
Poor robots. Poor robots.
They just keep pouring it on.
And I was thinking also with networked calculations out there, if this would be usable on the Hyenas, which we know at least some of them have a system slot because it mentions trajectory simulator on one of them. But I can't think of any instance where you wouldn't want to just calculate in that situation anyway. Except for, I'll jump in on this one for a card. For the Hyena Bomber, there is the Initiative 1 Bactoid prototype, unique 2, so you can have two of them in the list. And it's got the ability that if your target is target locked by another ship, you can ignore the firing requirements of your ordnance. So say you've got barrage rockets on there or proton torpedoes, and you decided you were going to take a calculate, but one of your buddies has the target locked. It's like Deadeye. You just ignore that requirement. It's interesting, I think, because that lets Hyena Bombers take things like proton rockets. I don't know if they'll have a double missile slot, but if they do, then they could take barrage rockets. And as long as one of their friends has the target locked, they can fire those.
I'm pretty sure they have a double missile because they have barrage rockets in the card fan.
Well, there you go. That seems to be the only way that the Hyenas could actually fire barrage rockets. And it seems almost to be a little janky requiring that, but maybe passive sensors could come in handy there, where you have one ship that's just there target locking for all his friends. Kind of a discount version of Bodhi Rook, I guess.
Or the tech slot that does it, right? The target synchronization or something like that?
Is that Republic only, or
no? It's FO for sure.
That one. I'm thinking synchronized console.
Yeah. No, we're talking. Where are we at here? Tech upgrades.
Targeting synchronizer.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. And speaking of the SFs, what about passive sensors on the SF?
Maybe. I think it's one of those things with the SFs. Need a good missile, and then I think they're going to be real good.
Because you could take, before you engage, the target lock action and rotate that arc.
Yeah, 100%. Like, that side of it is good for sure. It's just they don't have a good missile that they shoot yet.
That's true. There is an awesome missile that is a unique missile double slot that comes in with the Hyena Bomber, that Diamond Boron missile.
I'm not sure as I would use the term awesome with that. I think it's pretty new. Terrible.
Well,
it has an awesome name.
It's true. It does.
It's a three-charge, three-attack die missile. Your standard ordnance requires a target lock, doesn't get range bonuses, but it has that ability. When it hits, you can spend an additional charge to force every other ship within range one of the target that has an equal or lower agility value to roll one red die and take a hit or crit. So sort of like a weird almost harpoon, almost assault missile option.
Yes. It's just hitting things with it is not going to be trivial. And I just don't see it actually doing much. That's also unique. Can you reload it? Is it also not reloadable?
It's reloadable. Doesn't have anything saying you can't.
Okay. That's the super bomb that's in this wave too, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. The electroproton bomb is the one you can't reload. But I'm thinking these Diamond Boron missiles might not be bad on a gunboat with the title.
Mm-hmm.
So you could shoot it, spend the charge, reload, shoot it, spend the charge.
Yeah. I'm also assuming these are going to be expensive. If they're super cheap, then okay. But it's a three dice attack, right? Like, what are you hitting with this that's going to splash? Like Rebel Beef staying in formation? They don't need to stay in formation. You're probably not hitting TIE swarms with this. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
It seems like it'd clean up vulture swarms.
Sure, but everything cleans up vulture swarms. So do we need more cleaning up vulture swarm?
Fair. I'd imagine... it's interesting that they decided to make it unique. So I'm wondering if that's going to offset some of the cost, make it a cheap missile that you might throw on a K-Wing or a Punisher or a...
That's an interesting idea. I don't know if they, like, I could kind of get behind that so that we don't get harpoon missile spam issues again. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, we want this and we want a splash missile, but we only want you to have one of them so that you can't splash a whole vulture swarm before it shoots.
Right. The idea of splash damage should be limited, I feel, because otherwise I'll just shoot at your decimator over and over again and blast everything around you. Although, no, that wouldn't work because
you can no agi. Yeah, correct. That's my point is you with harpoons, you used to be able to pick on like the Y-wing of the group, right? And hit everything else around him. Like you can't do that with this.
That's interesting. I'm certainly looking forward to see if someone can figure out how to break it. All right. Anything else from these jumping out? We've got some interesting mechanics out of the N1 Starfighters. Those little suckers just want to go fast and do nasty things when they do.
Yeah, the one pilot that looked kind of interesting to me was Rick Ollie. If you're going faster than the enemy that you're targeting, you get +1 die to your attack, I believe. That also works on defense. So if they went slower than you when you're defending, you get +1 defense then, right?
Yes, correct. That is
how it's written, although it raises a question. Does this apply to ionized ships? How does it exactly read? Well, you perform, when you defend or perform a primary attack, if the speed of your revealed maneuver is higher than the enemy's ships, roll one additional die. Now, does that mean the enemy ship's maneuver or their revealed maneuver? Because an ionized maneuver isn't revealed.
I would assume that you just treat it as one. I mean, that's just how you would intuitively interpret it, so I don't see any reason why you wouldn't.
Well, you also don't have a revealed maneuver, period.
Yeah.
Right, so referring only to the opponent's revealed maneuver, then he doesn't affect ionized ships. But I'm sure they'll come out with an FAQ about that in a couple months.
If they really need to. I mean, this guy, while his ability is cool, I mean, he's an I-5, and I'm assuming that these N1s are probably not going to be, bare bones cheap. Compared to the Torrent, they've got, shields, a better dial, full throttle built in, the ability to take droids and torpedoes and stuff, which are better than, the missiles. So I think there's going to be some opportunity cost. I'm thinking he's going to be somewhere in those high 30s to low 40s. And so who knows, like, how much, you're going to see these actually take place in the meta because of, Jedi being the primary ship that the faction has. You're only going to have so much room to fit next to them. So
a torpedo slot and a system slot. So
yes. Yeah, that too. So there's even more opportunity costs there for additional shenanigans.
Yes. The juke proton torpedoes will be real.
Yeah.
Don't you worry.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that they'll be pricey enough, but it's just an interesting, the reason he jumped out at me is just because from a sheer kind of fun factor standpoint, trying to really push the envelope to go faster even more, with the full throttle thing, just seems fun because you get that added reward of getting the extra die, which we all know that extra attack dice is pretty awesome. So,
And thankfully, his ability only applies to performing a primary attack, so there's no throwing trick shot on him and force trading into a 7 die advanced proton torpedo.
Sure.
Somebody would want to get that off.
But like trick shot with his ability on the primary turns him into a 4 dice gun, which is still pretty good.
Not bad at all.
Yeah.
Although it doesn't mean you're charging headlong at an obstacle.
Right. And so when you don't have that extra.
Hold on. They have barrel roll. Like.
Not only that, he could take advanced sensors.
I guess, but you're going to dump that many points into this thing.
Yeah, it's the defender issue. I don't know as they take advanced sensors outside a very select few just because they want their full throttle evade.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that's what I mean. As soon as you take advanced sensors, then you're not getting the full throttle evade. So what's the point then? I just think he's going to be fun. Other than that, I mean, Anakin being able to double barrel roll is cute, and I applaud the devs for getting that in there, because spinning is a good trick, apparently. So, yeah.
So do you think these are going to be priced in such a way that people are going to want to fly multiples, or?
I think I want to see what the generic pricing is. because I think they could, depending on what they are, you know, premium over the torrent, you may see like two of the bare bones generics, you know, with two Jedi, but you'll have to cut some of the upgrades off the Jedi, which may be hard depending on what they're flying and how they're trying to fly. But
these things have to be a decent amount more expensive than the torrents.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Like I'm thinking generic should be mid 30s.
So maybe you only can fit max one Jedi. It's like two of these and maybe an arc and a Jedi, something along those lines, I think is all you're going to see. I don't think you're going to be able to do the two Jedi plus two of these. I mean, maybe you can do one of these in a torrent, maybe. But even that might be pushing it.
Well, for things you're going to want to fly possibly in multiples with them, anybody want to talk about the Naboo Handmaiden? The I-1, that's unique too, so you can only fly two of them, but they apply the unique condition decoyed to a ship. The ship that is decoyed, how does that read exactly? While you defend, each friendly Naboo Handmaiden in the attack arc may spend an evade token to change one of your results to an evade result. You can use their tokens. But if you are a Naboo Royal N1 Starfighter, each friendly Naboo Handmaiden in the attack arc may spend one evade token to add an evade result instead. So if you are another Naboo Starfighter like Rick or Anakin or Padme, you get a 1.0 evade from them.
Which you get two, and there's not a once per opportunity, so you could bring two Handmaidens.
You can only have one decoyed, however, but you can use exactly two of theirs to add two decoys.
What do you mean you can only have one decoyed?
Decoyed is a unique condition.
Oh, interesting. Because don't they have...
The decoyed condition has the dot, but so you could bring two Handmaidens, but only apply one decoyed condition.
I mean, granted, it's the release article is always wrong, but they actually...
No,
they
it's actually a picture of the card.
No, I'm saying the example in the release article is both of the Handmaidens are adding their evades to...
Ah, yes. No, that absolutely fits with how it's worded.
Oh, so there's only one decoyed target regardless of the number of Handmaidens?
Yes, but sure. each friendly Handmaiden can do it. So you're going to have everybody with evades and... Mm-hmm. That's
good luck. Good luck. I mean, I don't know if Padme is the right answer, but like, okay, you can only modify one focus when you're shooting her, and she has three evade stock. Right? Like, seems fine.
That's probably going to mean Handmaidens are discount bigs. You're going to want to shoot them first.
Yeah, I mean, you need to, and that's just frustrating that like you have to sit there and chew through these. You know, they're just I-1s with focus evade. They're really good blockers, right? Like the example picture is, oh, they're just like flying on either side of Padme, but there's no reason for them to be there. They just have to be also in the arc. There's no range limits, right? So it's not like I got to be range one like Biggs does. I can jam this Handmaid into your face and block you because even if we're touching, I'm still in your arc. So then you shoot range three at Padme and I pull the evade off of that person.
Sounds wholesome. Oh, all right. So anything else about the Naboo Starfighter or the Hyena jumping out at people? I believe folks have probably already talked about the Electron Proton Bomb, the ridiculous range 2 do everything bomb.
It's one of those things where you see it looks scary, range 2 and all this type of stuff. There's only a handful of ships. I don't even know if you can get all the way up to 5 ships in the game that can take it. And you get into weird situations where the ships that can, sure, okay. I guess we'll see what it does. I mean, the combo that with like Sabine or something could be a little bit obnoxious, but you've got to turn to know where it is to get the hell out of Dodge. I mean, granted, it's a huge blast area of 2, but... Yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal, but I guess we'll see. Someone will probably find a way to break it.
I don't think it's going to be good outside of some really like janky control style lists. Because while Captain Nim can't take it, he can't affect it, right? So you can just have like a generic bomber or a Y-wing that just drops this thing somewhere and then hangs out, and that's like a quarter of the board you can't go, right? Sundem just keeps it down there, so he knows that you can't fight in this quarter of the board. I don't know if that's good, but okay. And then the other side of it is putting it on what Empire ship can take it? Is it the Punisher?
It's got the reload, so the Punisher can take it.
Yeah.
And the TIE Bomber can take it.
Okay. You can do some weird stuff with like ion control, like where you're going to walk somebody into it, right? Like I'm only going to drop it when I know you're ioned into the area that it's going to hit. I don't think either of those are good, but you'll have to know. Someone will bring that to a tournament and you'll get matched up with them and you'll just have to know what you're going into.
And even then, that's going to take so much setup.
Yep.
Arguably not that big of a payoff. I mean, you roll four dice, but I mean, you're only taking what shield damage off of it, and then you get like some conditions.
Possibly a okay. weapons disabled token, possibly an ion, I think.
Wait, so it only does shield damage? It doesn't actually do real damage?
No, it removes the shield. It does not deal damage.
Oh, man. It's even worse than I thought.
Yep, never mind. Yeah. I literally think this is
binder fodder at best.
It's the new bomblet generator.
Yeah, this is a do-what-you-want-man card on the bottom tables. That's really all it is.
All right. Well, with these being held off till Wave 4, and looks like we've only got one other new ship in Wave 4 that hasn't been previewed yet, and everything else is a reprint, do you think either of these ships are going to change up the meta much?
I think the Hyena Bomber is probably going to find its way into some Separatist stuff. For sure. Just gives them some extra, you know, firepower and shenanigans and different stuff to kind of pair with vultures and an infiltrator, you know, that kind of thing. So I think that'll be one that'll pop up here and there in Separatist lists.
The other thing is it should be a cheaper, because it has the tactical relay slot, so it should be a cheaper carrier for that than the belly rub.
All right. So. Now, hopefully this will be a boost to the CIS, because looking through MetaWing, going from Wave 3 to today, you've got to go down 27 spots in the archetype list before you see a CIS list.
And yeah.
They're not really making cuts?
No, they
thought they were.
They're making cuts way better than we thought they were, because Vultures are trash ships. And, I mean, they're really bad. They're fun, but they're really bad. But they're seeing cuts. It's just we're only getting one in there. So MetaWing is going to get pushed because there's going to be five or six Rebel lists that make the cut every time because that's the easy list to fly, right? But there are definitely people that are taking Vulture Swarms and like the turn down for Watt that Hagwood's been running and whatnot and doing decently with them. So
is
it's not a
calling it that.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh my God, that's wonderful.
Yep. So it's not a bad list. I don't think it's quite efficient enough, right? It's just the point wise. Like they're leeching some points in that list that if we see a decent points adjustment in July for them to go down, it'll get really strong. The other side of that is I think what they're gonna do with the points adjustment is things are gonna go up to where like Republic and Confederacy are. So we won't see a lot of point change in Jedi, because I know people are all wanting their Jedi to be cheaper. Like, I don't want to see that nonsense at all. But I think we're going to start seeing, you know, the Vaders and the Suntrafels and the B-Wings and the Leias and that kind of stuff come up instead of trying to bring the Jedi and Separatists down.
I've seen, you know, a lot of Separatist lists in the little time since it's been out, and that was a little bit surprising to me, because I thought that was going to be one of those things where it was going to be more of the like niche, you know, lists, or the like, you know, it's going to be like the lesser run comparatively to the Jedi and stuff. And it probably is in some capacity, but I'm still seeing a lot more of it than I thought I would. And anytime I've gone up against it, it's been a little bit surprising that it's a little bit more resilient than it is. But I mean, that's just because there's a lot of ships usually to chew through. And the infiltrators, I think, are pretty solid for what they do.
Oh, and double infiltrators, good.
Yeah, double infiltrators, good. But even a single infiltrator, depending on how it's built, can be annoying as hell. So I don't know. I don't think they're that far off. And I think the Hyena Bomber might be the little thing that allows them to shake some things up and maybe get some interesting, you know, kind of synergy out there that really kind of turns it up that half notch more that it might just need.
Yeah. There's I mean, and that's, so that's what's funny is like, there's just not enough people playing in volume, like certain lists. So like the double infiltrator list is absolutely very good. There's multiple flavors of it, but there's a couple of them that are effectively correct. It's what Duncan won a hyperspace with out on the East Coast. And it's a really, really strong list that just hasn't seen enough play yet. Like, give it some time, and then that's going to start moving up. Because it turns out that, you know, Rebel Captive that can hit your entire list is really good.
Indeed. So you think that when we get the inevitable June or July points upgrade, we're not going to see much change with Republican Separatist?
I don't know that. Like, I'm not a playtester. I don't have inside track information or anything like that. But just the feel, is everyone wants to is talking about like, oh, these things need to be nerfed, right? Like, oh, we got to fix all this stuff like that. And you're not really seeing that with Separatists or Jedi. And my hope is, like, I want them to go one way or the other, right? Like, either leave most of the stuff as is and bring Separatist Jedi down, only changing like the really problem stuff, like fix Phantoms in some way, fix the Han nonsense that's out there, that kind of stuff. Or you price everybody else up. I think that might be the better solution.
All right, because again, looking at since Wave 3 has dropped, a lot of these lists, if you look, just the top 10 upgrades in hyperspace, 5 of them are different flavors of Rebel Beef with Leia. You're seeing that's just, it's everywhere. And last cast, Blair had a pretty impassioned rant on it. And I can't say he's wrong. It's it's definitely to the point where if you're flying Rebels, and most people are going by the stats, you have Leia in your list. Is that a card that needs to be raised out of play, or just to a place where you can't play it with the double selfless, the double swarm tactics, all these other key cards that make that the variants of it work? Because that's the thing about Rebel Beef. You've got so many different variants of it out there.
I had a pretty decent talk with Will about this yesterday, I think it was. Was it yesterday, 2 days ago at work?
Something where, like that, yeah.
I want to see Leia go up to the point, like, but not priced out. I think Leia is an interesting card. I like the fact that she's in there and what she brings to Rebels. But what I don't like is that you're getting Leia with all the other stuff. Like, you get Braylon and Cassian as your Leia carrier and Wedge, right? Like, if you only had two of those three, it suddenly becomes way less oppressive.
And I think the solution, or the easy button to push, is the cost on Leia, because that is, like, I think if you look at all of those lists, the one common thread really through all of them at the heart of it is Leia's in there huge. And then you've got the Cassian Braylon combo as well, you know, and then everything else is like, some have Wedge, some have 10, some have Big, some have Horton, some have Dutch, you know, those other pieces kind of mess around, but that's really kind of the heart of it. But Leia is really the thing that allows it to deal with like so much stuff because of that advantage. So if you price Leia up to like 6 points, for example, then all of a sudden, like Tyler said, you have to make some choices as far as what else you fit in there. Or you're like, okay, well, I want the other toys, so I'll just take Leia out of the equation. Now you again have a list that's a far easier to kind of deal with because they have to make some type of sacrifice. The one thing that I'm a little bit nervous about is before they did the little bit of a price drop with veteran turret gunner and the turrets for the Y-wings, and then the Falcons, and then it was Leia herself. Those were really the three main things that got hit with the price update, the last one that we got. Right. And before that, Rebels were just all, you know, characterized as quote unquote awful. You know, you couldn't really fit stuff. You couldn't really do much comparatively with what was out there. So if now all of a sudden you just jack everything else up price wise, and then Leia goes away, then you put Rebels right back where they were. So I think the solution really is, okay, let's just make Leia we've proven the point. Leia's a very powerful card. Now you feel like you should be paying that higher cost for Leia. And then see where it goes. And maybe the veteran turret gunner and the ion and the dorsal turrets, those probably should go back up at least a point if they don't go back up the 2 points. And then maybe, you know, you hit Braylon back with another point, you know, that type of thing. And see where it goes. Cause I'm nervous to see them rubber banding back and forth between, oh, these guys were trash. Let's give them some, you know, throw them a bone, you know, make Leia 2 points because, you know, Leia's awesome as a character, blah, blah, blah. And then, oh, that was way too much. And then you rubber band right back where you were, and now Rebels can't hang with anything. So that's what I'm nervous about, but I guess we'll see what happens in July.
Do you think there's a chance of them overreacting like they did with the Scum Han Gunner increase?
That wasn't an overreaction.
I don't believe you. It was an overreaction.
Well, it's an overreaction, the fact that it is literally priced out of play. That card is unplayable as it is right now.
It's unplayable where it was.
Yeah, it's right? Still like super good.
Yeah.
That's really kind of maybe the heart of my point. I am worried that they overreact and rubber band back the other way too far. I think if they find some happy middle ground is where your ideal spot is, where you can still play Leia at maybe 6 points, boost a couple of the other tools back up a point or two, and then now you're probably in a much more kind of balanced situation where you can bring like 3 of the 4 tools that you had before, and you have to choose which one you want to give up, whether it's Biggs or Leia or Braylon or Cassian or whatever.
Like being able to bring only 3 Jukes in a quad Phantom list.
No, that's still stupid. Yeah, that's still stupid. But I mean, the thing that I look at, and I've been playing a lot more Rebels in 2.0, and the list that I'm flying obviously don't have Leia. I have had Biggs in a lot of my lists, but it's one of those things where, as a feel, you know, of ship, you just have to know what those platforms do. And when you have Leia at your disposal, all of a sudden it says, okay, you get to do what that ship normally does. Plus, oh yeah, for every 3 turns, it's now also like a defender or better than a defender, depending on what your red maneuvers are. And it's your entire damn list. So that's where Leia itself is really the heart of the problem, I believe. Everything else is, you know, kind of at the heart of what, you know, Rebels do. You know, I know it's not the favorite thing for some people to play against with the damage sharing and stuff, but just where the pricing of the Rebel ships are and what they do, they don't get to swarm a whole bunch of ships. They don't get to have access to any arc dodgers really at all. I mean, unless you count Jake as one, but he's not a scary one, and he's at I-4. They kind of have to have something to help keep some ships alive for longer. Otherwise, there's no way they can stop the snowball effect, and they're just dead before the game really starts. So
we're going to pass over Handbrake Han, because that should be taken care of at the same time.
Oh yeah, that's an assumption. That's just gone.
Right, yeah. And that's a question to ask. What specifically do you do there? Because again, Han Solo was in the movie's special discount. Do you increase R2 crew inertial dampeners, remove the illicit slot? How do you deal with that kind of power?
I think remove the illicit slot is the first place to go with. Like,
that's the cleanest for sure. Yeah. The R2-D2 crew probably needs to be... Again, it's just mostly with the Han synergy where the downsides of it, you know, kind of go away statistically, but it still probably should be like a 2-point maybe minimum increase to 10, because it is quote-unquote unlimited regen, so that's still not something you want to promote, you know, too heavily.
People could always say that R2-D2 and Han aren't guaranteed synergy. Look at the Adepticon finals.
Well,
sure. It happens. Sure. It just doesn't happen enough.
Right. I mean, they'd be wrong, but that's one of those things where is that, do you think, an intended or an unintended synergy? You've got things like that with Braylon and Cassian, with R2 and Han.
I I think with Lando crew, I think it was intended synergy. With R2-D2 crew, I think it was maybe unintended synergy. Because, you know, Lando crew with Han makes sense that you want them to kind of be buddy-buddy together. But R2-D2, usually Han was just yelling at him. So that doesn't seem like maybe that was an intended, you know, interaction. But one that I think most people saw right away. But again, if you take away the inertial dampeners on that Han build... especially with how that interacts with Kanan too. I mean, if inertial dampeners is gone, then you don't even have to worry about the Kanan interaction. But that obviously just goes against, you know, what the heart of the game is about. And I think so many other people have already talked about it that it just needs to go away. I mean, it was almost a head-scratcher how they ruled it to begin with.
All right. Other things we are seeing a lot of in the meta for hyperspace... TIE Swarms are a solid top-tier list. Do they need to be looked at? Are they in a place they should be?
I don't think they need to be looked at. I think they're in a place that they should be. I don't know what you would do.
Yeah, I don't know really what you would do. I mean, Howrunner and Iden are obviously the two big ones, and they're already, you know, priced up at 40 points, so they're pretty heavy price point. And then anything, if you put Swarm Tactics on either of them or something, now they're even pricier. Individually, you know, all the other TIEs aren't that scary. I mean, Gideon and Wampa, I think, and maybe Sane with Marksmanship Corner Case for that, as far as the three that might be good on their own. But I don't necessarily think you want to do something to jack up the concept of being able to run a swarm at all. I mean, even going back to wave one of 1.0, the swarm is, you know, has always been referred to as the shark of X-Wing. It's a thing. You see a lot of TIE fighters on the board. It's thematic, and, you know, you know you want to go at it. And, I mean, I know in 2.0, Iden makes the swarm much more potent. You know, you don't necessarily have to run a 7-ship swarm. You can now run a 6 and be very, very effective with a 6.
Because you have effectively 7 ships thanks to Iden.
Exactly. So you really end up and get similar efficiency, and now the bonus you get is you get that one variance, you know, middle finger you can give to somebody to keep a ship alive or just take away a torpedo shot or something like that. But the other thing you get is you get higher initiative on a lot of your pilots too. So you get to shoot, you know, higher up that initiative ladder. I know in early 1.0, the TIE Swarm I was running just to, you know, be a little different and go against some of the initiative stuff we were seeing with a lot of Chewie and stuff was I was running a lot of black squads with, you know, veteran instincts to get everybody up to 6 with Howrunner at 8. And that was a 6 TIE Swarm. I was making the decision to run one less ship to get the initiative to shoot, you know, higher. Turns out that was probably, I don't know. I mean, it worked out more or less, but it was probably the wrong call. I probably should have just been running all Obsidians and had one more ship anyway. You know, that was an option that I had. So I don't think you need to do something to make TIE Swarms go away. I mean, that was probably, in my opinion, one of the things that was showing the downside of 1.0 is when you just couldn't fly a TIE Swarm anymore to be competitive.
And I'll admit, I have a bit of a bias here because, real talk, guys, Ricky hasn't unpacked his ship since Crate Cup, so all he's been flying is that goddamn TIE Swarm. And, well, you've played Ricky. At least I can get some book reading done in between turns while he sets his dials.
I mean, that's anything he flies, though, so yeah. It's not unique to TIE Swarm.
I'm just tired of seeing swarms across the table, but I do admit they are thematic and part of the game. It is nice to see them in the top tier of lists right now, I'll admit.
Okay, are we really going to, like, talk about, say, like, a list needs to be competitive because it's thematic? Is that really, like, the argument we're going with here?
Like, I can't say not, you know, in the movies thematic, but the idea that an Empire list of a bunch of disposable, fragile fighters, that's their thing. And they did say with 2.0 that they want each faction to feel like it has a thing. Rebel is spreading damage, and that's certainly in the top right now.
I don't really think where we're at was the designer's intention when they were designing 2.0, but I was really surprised they brought Howrunner back, to be honest.
Because of the passive mods?
because of the double mods, and like, so Tidestorm hasn't been just like Peritani dominant. It's been pretty good, but it's like you can still beat it with well flown aces, but I just don't really understand why you bring it back, because in 1.0, you pretty much were never, if you were going to fly a jousting list, you pretty much weren't ever going to fly anything else. And so we have all these ships that are jousters that you're really only going to run as if you're going to run like, if you want to run like an ace or two, and you're just throwing them in as filler, which is fine. But if you want to run an all jousting list, why would you fly anything else? Andrea sort of falls into that same category. I think it just sort of hamstrings the meta and condenses it more than I think it would be without those two pilots.
Okay. Well, as pretty much the unquestioned swarm expert, Blair, how would you feel that a swarm should fit into the meta? Is there something that the Inferno swarm is doing that shouldn't be there or is too good?
I mean, in hyperspace is probably a little bit too good. It's just like the fact that you get all these heavily modded shots at initiative 4 or higher that, like, but again, you can still beat it with a well-flown ace list. I'm not saying it's unbeatable, but again, like, you look at all these other ships that are jousters in hyperspace, and none of them are really doing a whole lot apart from Kalen's, which we've already more or less agreed is busted and is going to be changed. So that's just sort of my point, is like it just sort of makes the rest of these jouster ships more or less irrelevant, because they're just not, you just can't, apart from like just throwing them in as filler with like a couple of aces. That's just my argument there.
Okay.
So, just play devil's advocate here. Like, so obviously, like, the, you know, you rarely, you know, if ever really see, like, just one, you know, TIE fighter. And they're always kind of, like, flying in, you know, small packs and stuff like that. If you wouldn't have brought, like, Howlrunner back to kind of give the rerolls on offense, I guess what would be something that you would do to change to Howlrunner? Is it, instead of like rerolls on offense, would it have been like, I guess, I don't know. I can't think of really anything like you would encourage to fly like in close proximity to, you know, some swarm leader. Would it have been just to take Howlrunner's initiative and make it a lot lower? I don't know. Like what are your thoughts there?
That would have helped. I think they could have made her initiative like 3. It would have, wouldn't have more or less been stapled to her. You know, I know some people haven't flown with Swarm, but most people do. I don't know. I like whatever the pilot is for the Separatists. It like gives everyone more or less crack shot. I think that's a cool mechanic.
Oh God, we don't need more crack swarms that don't ever run out.
But it's bullseye only is the thing. So it's a lot. So like even in a joust, bullseye is hard to get off, and I can sort of play around that. But if I'm bringing a jousting list, it's like, well, hope you roll bad. Like there's just not a whole lot you can do there. You're just the numbers just aren't with you. So, okay, I want to fly jousters. I'm more or less, you know, there's tons of stuff they could have done with Hal. I don't really know off the top of my head. But I just thought it was kind of strange that they went through all these things to make it so, okay, you can't get double mods. Like, I know I've said this before, but, like, FCS on a B-Wing, like, I don't recall anyone ever saying that was unfair. Granted, it was on, like, Whisper or Corrin, but that was, like, one of the few cards I could bring to sort of match that firepower, the punch of an Imperial TIE Swarm. So they hit like all these other things, but they brought that back. I feel like we've had this conversation already, but maybe I've just been kicking around in my head, but.
Well, because you didn't do too badly with your Valen Rudor version of the Swarm.
No. And I felt like in my games against like Po 3A and other races, I felt like those were more or less fair matchups, and they were intriguing matchups that me and my opponent were both making, had to make a lot of tough decisions. But against like anything else that more or less just had to joust, you just like wipe them off the board. And there's not a whole lot they can do.
That's legit.
Yeah, it is an interesting situation depending on your list. There are situations that from a sheer matchup perspective, the Tie Swarm is just going to be out jousting. And if there isn't something, an additional tool that you can go to, yeah, you kind of almost like have to pray your opponent is just bad at flying and you can outrange control them or pull them through the rocks or, you know, all the other traditional things that you do to swarm players to get an advantage. I don't really know myself like what the solution, you know, to that would be. But there's matchups like that on the other side too, when you're flying an ace list. A lot of times if you're going against another ace list that just has a bigger bid, or if they have, you know, an ace list plus some tool that just really, you know, wrecks with other aces kind of thing, that's kind of a matchup loss too.
Yeah.
So this is just the jousting equivalent of a matchup loss.
I agree.
I guess. Yeah.
Like, I know there's been a lot of discussion about making changes to initiative, like having it change back and forth each turn. And that's the thing with aces too, is like, I've been like, now that like rebels aren't cool anymore, I'm trying to look at like run something else, but it's just like every ace, it's just like you take it to a big tournament and you run into a bigger bid. It's like, yeah, well now what the hell am I going to do?
Yeah. So this is also one of the reasons you don't see Separatists as high up, because people are still trying to run energy shell of swarms, and it's just like the Tie Swarm's just better at that. You know what I mean? Like, and there's always going to be that top dog joust list. It just happens to be the Tie Swarm's been that for a while, right? And then you get into the ace side of it. That's why I've been on my soapbox preaching. You know what can't get a bigger bid then? You can't get a bigger bid than if I can just look at your dial and put a ship there. Like, I don't need a bid with sense, and it makes those ace matchups really easy.
So you're saying Sense Vader is legit not okay?
Oh yeah, no, it's absolutely not okay.
What's a possible answer to that? Do you increase sense? Do you?
Well, so I don't know, but at the same token, I think I expect Vader and the other tools to go up in price anyway. Like, I don't think Afterburners is going to sit at six. It's too good at six. I think Vader's going to get more expensive. They dropped him too far. Okay. The points are super tight in that list as it is. Like, I mean, I'm running at 199 with Crackshot. So like, I have two, like the Crackshot and the 1 point bid to play with. So if, you know, Afterburners goes up 1 or 2 points and Vader goes up, you know, a handful of points, like 3 or 4, something like that, like I already can't fit 3 TIE fighters. So I think it's naturally going to get taken care of in that manner, but who knows?
Because sense is one of those that changing it to be an initiative variable cost would have no effect, because it's exactly as valuable on a low ship as it is on a high ship, because it's a system phase. If you increase, I mean, there are places where sense, I think, is a legit card out there. Is it specifically the Vader interaction with it, or is it sense in any list with an I6?
It's not necessarily specific to Vader. It's just that Vader hits as hard as he does, that when I can set you up to get shot when you don't have defensive mods with one of the harder hitting ships in the game, that's the issue. Like, that's the problem you run into, right? I think sense in Jedi could be good. I don't know if it is. I just haven't really played around with it or looked at the points, but
right, because that was the first thing I thought of, was you've got your option for your torrent blockers and Anakin in there.
Yeah, maybe.
The interesting thing, depending on where the points go, those 3 TIE fighters, maybe they're just better from a blocking standpoint as 2 strikers, because you now have the ailerons and a barrel roll and you're
oh yeah 100% you know, like that's you know. That's entirely possible. The only reason I have two or three TIE fighters right now is because of trying to mitigate losing one of them to just Alpha Strike fire early.
Right. Yeah. And I guess that would be the problem with Strikers too. They're yeah. more fragile.
They just, it's the same. Two agility on four hit points is roughly the same as three agility on three.
Well, right. But you only got two of them. So it's a lot easier than
right.
one. Of them
right. Right. Yes. Yep. So,
yeah. I guess we'll see. It'll be interesting. I mean, I think we're supposed to get the points update before Gen Con, right? At least that's the expected.
Oh, yeah, it's in July for sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So Gen Con's, I think, the next biggest thing outside of the couple system opens that are still left, which I think, Blair, only, you're going to one, right? The Seattle one? Is that one here soon? Is that the one that's next?
I think it's next weekend, actually.
This weekend is Atlanta, and I believe Seattle's right after that.
Oh, okay. Atlanta's the next one, and then Seattle. Okay. So I guess we've got these two system opens, and then I think it's Gen Con. Is that the next big one after those?
Yeah, because there are, after Seattle, I don't think there are any more U.S. system opens. There's a couple overseas ones, but...
So, yeah. So it'll definitely make Gen Con interesting from a meta standpoint, because that could be the first big tournament with, you know, post... points update. And did they say it's extended or hyperspace? I don't remember if they've announced that yet.
It's extended.
It's extended. Okay.
So, I mean, that's even going to make it wilder because everything's going to be on the table depending on what the points do. So,
well, and speaking of the points update, if you were going to have to just take a wild guess at what the surprise of the points update is going to be, what would you think?
What we think, or what the community is?
Not general community. You personally, what do you think is going to be the change that surprises everybody or comes out of nowhere?
My surprise for the community is that they don't touch Phantoms and they actually like the fact that four Phantoms are good.
Oh, the salt.
And my body's ready.
And the non-surprise to that would see, you know, the Facebook, you know, dumpster fires.
Do you think that with some of the other ships that are coming in with Wave 4, there's going to be any synergy that they're going to predict or overlook that's going to necessitate another emergency triple upsilon style change?
I don't foresee anything like that on the horizon. I guess mostly what I'm expecting with the points update is just these, see the subtle things and the maybe the cleaner things or stuff we've already kind of talked about. You know, maybe they just drop the illicit off the Falcon, make it easy. You know, maybe you'll probably or most likely see Leia go up to like 6 points, 5 points, something like that. And then maybe a point or two shift on some of these other things. I don't think we're going to see something as significant as we saw the first time. But maybe that'll be the surprise. Maybe, at least for me, I'm not expecting to see like these huge sweeping changes other than the stuff we've already talked about that is pretty much hammered in everyone's brains is this is a problem. These have to be dealt with, and then watch them not do much with it or watch them change something completely. That's like, what, why is that being touched? That didn't seem like a problem at all.
Well, we saw some reductions in January. When they wanted to see ships flown more, the Falcon, et cetera. You think we're going to see any potential reductions with ships, even the newer ships coming in, to try and encourage people to play the Decimator or not getting the sick just yet, and I don't think we're going to see any reduction to B-Wings.
God, I hope not. Jesus, we don't need more B-Wings. Sorry, Blair and Will.
I'd be really surprised if they don't give a reduction to the Decimator, provided it's
coming in. The Decimator needs help, and the problem is the biggest thing that it needs is it needs mobility.
Yeah.
And there's not a way to do that short of changing the card or giving it like a new title or some crap like that, which I think they don't want to do.
There is a way. It's not a clean way, but
Jared Gerard. Right?
That's not a real way. Come on now.
Yeah. It's not the way you want, but it is a way technically to give it.
Yeah, sure.
I've been looking at, and this is dumb, but I want to try it. Two patrol leaders with Jerjerod and then Duchess with intimidation.
Okay.
Because with the Jerjerod boost plus ailerons, you should be able to run into anything.
I mean, sure. And then you have 2 3 dice turrets to shoot the anything, hopefully. Mm-hmm.
Why is Jerjerod worded the way it is?
That you've got to have if you're going to boost, everybody's got to do it the same way.
Oh.
So either everybody. Well, everybody who wants to boost has to do it in the same direction. It doesn't have to be all your ships, but if you're going to boost, they've all got to go left, right, or straight.
Huh. Yeah, that's not very...
I guess the thing that I'm hoping doesn't happen, but I guess may, and it'd be very, very dangerous if they did this, if they lower the price of the Defender... That would be my horribly negative surprise on my part, because I think they've actually got that priced appropriately. But
I don't know if that's true. Those Defenders seem real good. I just don't think people are flying them.
They could bring down the E-Wing more.
That's what I mean. I think the Defenders priced appropriately. So, people just aren't flying them.
I'm saying the Defender might need to go up, is what I'm saying.
That too.
E-Wing is interesting. So like my hardest game at CAC was against Wedge and then 2 E-Wings with the R3 and Proton Torps, right?
Solid.
Yeah, it's a decent little list. It punches hard. The guy I was playing with was a little newer, I think, and like it was game 6 and he just wasn't aggressive enough with his Torps. Like he had Torp shots, but they weren't good Torp shots. He should have taken them anyway, kind of deal, right? Because like I can tackle any other ordnance-based list generally because I can just block you and stop you from getting your locks on my aces that matter. So if you want to like lock my TIE fighters, whatever. And I can't do that against E-Wings, right? Like E-Wings and Jendon are like the thing that was like, oh, I didn't think I was scared of this, but I'm actually kind of scared of this. So I think E-Wings are okay. I don't know what we do to make them good, and I don't know if we want to have them actually be good, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because Khorne is still a very dangerous possibility, even with his bullseye restriction now. I mean, double tapping, still nasty, depending on what you can, you know, pair with that.
All very true. All right, well, looks like we've pretty much covered everything that's come up in the past 2 weeks and looking forward. Does anybody have any specific shout-outs they want to give this week?
Chad Huffle, the guy who runs Twin Sun Charities, who puts on CAC. It was another great year. It was a lot of fun. I was kind of sad because generally Will and I and my dad would travel to South Bend, which is the event he puts on in person. It's just a little hard for us to make a 4.5-hour drive with a time zone shift versus making a 2.5-hour drive down to St. Louis. We can do St. Louis and back in one day. Versus, you know, having to get 2 hotel rooms kind of a thing.
That's true. That's true. Also, definitely a shout out to all the patrons of Scum and Villainy, especially the people who signed up since the last episode. They're the folks who keep the lights on, help run List Fortress and Metawing, and keep those as community resources. So thanks to all the folks who are listening in and putting your hard-earned credits towards keeping these pirates fed and housed. For those of you who haven't yet gone over there, patreon.com/scumandvillainy. If you want to become a patron, there's a bunch of fun little perks you can get. Access to the hilarious Discord chat. You'll get all sorts of neat bonuses that haven't been done in a while, like send in a list for folks to critique, or maybe even be lucky enough to get one of the ace pilots here on Vassal sometime to teach you a little bit about strategy. That's some things that are available to patrons of the Scum and Villainy podcast.
And most importantly, finding me and having me buy you beer.
That is true. For those of you who don't regularly get bought beer by the podcast, they will do that for people. I've seen it.
I have the receipts to prove it. Blair, you got any shout outs?
My man Jim, he did a pretty good job. We only got 18 at RCAC, I think, because it was across the pond. I don't think a lot of the Seattleites wanted to make that trip, but he did a real good job, and even he was streaming it as well as being a TO, so shout to him and everyone. I'll see you at Seattle. Hopefully another one of my friends doesn't cost me a world's invite. Fingers crossed. There's going to be a lot there.
At what point do we kick Kalen off the show?
Kalen Wong, destroyer of dreams. Well, as Kelvin Tiberius would say, I guess we'll put a bow on this. On behalf of Blair Bunky, better known as Scruffy, on behalf of Tyler Tippett, better known as Starslinger72, and on behalf of Will Barnacle, better known as Will Barnacle, I am Matt the Mighty Newt. This has been the Scum of Villainy podcast, and good hunting, everybody.